Welcome to our service tonight. We're going to start with a well-known hymn, Trust and Obey, number 525, and we'll stand as we worship the Lord tonight. Let's come to the Lord now, please, in prayer, committing our evening service to Him. Father, at the beginning of this evening time of worship, we enter into Thy presence in Jesus' holy name. We humble ourselves, Father, at the throne of grace, knowing that the Holy Spirit is our aid, our comforter, our help in every time of need. And once more tonight, we acknowledge our need of the Spirit's help to direct us in our worship, in our prayer, in our reading of the Word of God. Lord, to open our hearts to the Word and open the Scriptures of truth to our understanding. Father, some parts of the Word we acknowledge are easier to understand than others. But Father, we know that if it was not for the leading of the Spirit, back at the time when we were brought to faith in Christ, the Word of God would, well, it would be closed to us. But now we say it is open, the open Word of God. We're thankful tonight for its truth, for it resonates with our being. It shows us the pathway that we are to go. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. And, O God, we pray that not just the written Word, but our Savior, the incarnate Word, would be unfolded in all the richness, the wealth, the bounty, that our experience of the Savior would grow day by day. That, Lord, as we come to anticipate the meeting that we will have with Christ, when either we see Him at His coming or we see Him in glory, that we will be made like Him in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, completely transformed. Oh God, we pray that that day would be hastened. We pray, blessed Savior, that You would come quickly. This world is not getting better, Lord. We see the evidences all around us of the growth of evil and wickedness. And it's no wonder to us, Lord, because it's the very prophecy of the Word of God, the mystery of iniquity shall abound. The love of many will wax cold. Lord, when You come back, would You find faith on the earth? Well, I pray that we as the people of God, as Your church here, the body of believers, that Father, we would grow daily in grace, in knowledge, in love, in our hope. Father, make use of us, we pray. We want to be living testimonies. Lord, in the midst of all of our weaknesses and our failures, yet still, Lord, You know our frame. You remember that we are dust. We were reading that this morning from Psalm 103. And Lord, that precious psalm that speaks of our iniquities being forgiven, our transgressions being covered. And we would lift our hearts tonight and say once more, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Lord, we lift up our hands and our hearts tonight in thanksgiving and worship. We pray that we will be strengthened with might in the inner man. Lord, tonight there may be hearts that are heavy, hands hanging down, feeble knees. Well, Lord, come and strengthen our spiritual frame in every single area. Defeat the devil as he would attempt to make us stumble and fall and bring various temptations in our pathway. Lord, make us victorious to understand the power of that word, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I pray, Lord, that power would be grasped by each one of us. I pray for our young people. I pray for our young women, our young men, that they would come to the power line of experiencing the power of the Spirit of God to become more than conquerors through Christ that abides within us. Lord, the devil is as a roaring lion on the prowl. He is trying to tear apart lives. Our young men and young women, he would love to swallow them up in the things of this world. But, oh God, strengthen them, we pray, with might in the inner man, the inner person. And I pray that our boys and girls, our young people, our young adults, oh Lord, that they would be strong. We think of what John wrote. I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong in the Lord. Let that be the reverberating testimony across our congregation. And Lord, we would extend it to our churches across Canada, our young people in our fellowships in the United States. Lord, use us, we pray. We've come to the kingdom for this time. We don't want to waste our time. We don't want to just be blending into the world, merging into this present evil age. No, Lord, we want to stand separate, separated unto the gospel. We want to be different, Lord, and we are praying tonight again that we will be made use of in your everlasting kingdom. Oh, Lord, be glorified through us, I pray, and make use of us as your people, your servants. So, hear our prayer. We think of those that can't be with us tonight. We know that the weather here in Toronto has kept many away, Lord, and we just ask that you would strengthen them in their own homes. Strengthen them, Father, we pray, in their physical weaknesses. Bless them in every family that there would be household salvation. We pray, Father, for those that have an immediate need of a physical touch upon them. We pray for Ron tonight. We ask for Serene. We pray that you would bless these ones. We think of Rebecca Chandler. Lord, again, speak to the heart of this woman. Lord, you know her state. You know her rebellion. And we're asking that you would break through into her heart even now, Lord, and save her soul. Pray for those who are elderly, Father, that they have lived and served. They have served you, Lord, with their lives. Pray tonight for Grace Puccini, that you would bless her and bless her as she grieves still the loss of her dear husband and many others who have had loved ones taken from them. Lord, there is a great vacancy. There is a great hole. And I pray that you would pour in your grace and be to those who have lost husbands, Lord, be to them husbands. Those that have lost wives, be to them the partner, the comfort. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Remember the persecuted believers in many different parts of this world. Lord, those that have been taken captive, bring them to the point of being released. Let them be a bright testimony before their captors, some in prison, some, Lord, under persecution or threat of persecution. Bless them abundantly. Remember, every faithful servant, preacher, missionary that is serving the kingdom of Christ, bless them, we pray. Ah, Lord, give us joy in the service of Christ, we ask. Hear our prayer tonight. Write the word of God on our souls. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Number 449, complete in thee. Let's stand once more as we sing. Turn with me, please, now to Genesis chapter 4. The book of Genesis, chapter 4. We'll read the first 12 verses. And Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. We know that the Lord will use his word, and we pray it will be instructive to us and a blessing for us in our time tonight. Very glad to see you all in the house of the Lord. You have ventured out, and we're happy to see you. And we trust the Lord would encourage your heart and keep you safe. Well, thankfully, you've been brought safely here, and you will be brought home safely as well. And those of our congregation that are viewing our service online, we encourage you. And thank you also for the visitors that are tuning in with us tonight. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness. And if you are visiting online for the first time tonight, we pray that God would encourage you. And if you have a prayer request, some way in which we can be of counsel or help to you, well, then by all means, send us an email. It will come up on the screen sometime during the service, and then you could send that to us, and we will be able to pray for you. Let me encourage you to remember in prayer some of those who we've been thinking about and praying for. We think of the Schultz family in the Czech Republic, praying again for God's hand to be upon them. We ask also your prayers for our brother George McConnell, the former secretary of the Ulster Mission Board, Our brother needs our prayer at this time regarding health matters, and we just would leave him before God. And also we're thinking today about Brother Ed Dunbar from our Greenville congregation, that the Lord's hand would be upon him. These are outside our own immediate fellowship. We have many folks that are within our own group that we want to remember in prayer before the Lord as well. I would thank you also for your continued prayer for my next door neighbor, Kamla, as she had suffered a stroke, and I was able to visit her a week ago, and hoping sometime this week also to be able to visit and just read and pray. And thank you for your ongoing prayers for her and praying for the family as well. Please remember the card in a foyer regarding the Christmas appeal. And if you would mark something special in your offering envelope as the Lord lead you to do that as we take care of some home renovations here within the church, that would be much appreciated. And then we have, don't forget, the upcoming baptism in the new year. And we want to remind our young believers that if the Lord has saved your soul, that now is a time, an opportunity given to you to seal that by your public confession and testimony of following him in baptism. Speak to me that we might be able to make preparations for that. Very happy. My mom's out tonight at the service, and yesterday was her 97th birthday, 97 years young, and so we certainly are happy that you're able to make it out to the service tonight, and pray the Lord's continued hand to be upon you. Remember, please, the ministry going on this incoming week. Monday afternoon at 3 p.m., we have a finance committee meeting in the boardroom upstairs here. And then on Wednesday, our Bible study and prayer time. We'll be looking at Acts 27 and 28 for our quiz, and then looking at the final message from the book of Acts in chapter 28. And then on Thursday, we have the women's Bible study at 7 p.m., and we also have a session and board meeting this Thursday. We'll be at 6 for the session, 7:30 for our board meeting. Next Lord's Day, our service is at the regular times, and the special announcement for our prayer time, December the 12th, it will be for all of our churches across Canada who would like to join in, and it will be at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and it will run for about an hour and a half, depending on how the prayer time goes. And it will be on Zoom, and those people will have received already most the Zoom connection, and if you would like to join in, well, you can send an email to the church, and we will see that you get that connection. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise tonight, number 593. Remaining seated, please. Oh, for a faith that will endure, though pressed by many a trial. Let's sing to the Lord's praise.
Thank you.
faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without. When in danger, knows no fear, darkness, feels no doubt. May the Lord strengthen us, each one, and grant to us such a faith that we will walk each day in that light and in that truth. Please turn with me in your Bibles now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews 11, the first four verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. We'll bow in prayer. Father, we have the Scriptures open once again, and our prayer tonight for the Spirit's help, to give power in the ministry of the Word, unction from heaven, the leading of the Spirit to speak, to communicate. Lord, let this Word be written on our hearts so that we will be strengthened, and that we will be instructed, Lord, in our Christian walk. Bless us, I pray. Save precious souls, any who are outside of Christ, listening online, maybe here in the service tonight. Lord, hear this prayer. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. A small step, but a giant leap. Abel, the first man of faith. It was 10:56 p.m. Eastern Time on July the 16th, 1969, that Neil Armstrong was the first human to plant his foot on another world, the moon. With more than 500 million people watching on television, he climbed down the ladder of the Eagle landing module and proclaimed these words: "That is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." So much was wrapped up in those words for the NASA space program as they raced to beat the Russians in claiming new ground, new frontiers, space travel. Of course, behind that was not a godly quest, we could say. The whole idea of space investigation and searching would be to find new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before, as some have said. But the idea is not to find the Lord. In fact, the idea behind all of that was to find out, are there other beings, creatures, other people, other worlds? So that one small step for man, stepping on the moon, seemed to be a giant step or leap for mankind, was in the eyes of those who are involved in space exploration. But of men who have ventured to claim milestones for humanity, I say to you tonight that the first man of faith, Abel, certainly holds a much higher place in God's annals, in the record keeping of the living God. Is it Neil Armstrong who is in the first place? Or would it be Abel, the man of faith? Beyond question from the scripture, Abel holds a preeminently higher, vastly more important position. And so I want us to think tonight on this small step, but yet a giant leap that Abel took as the first man of faith. We know him to be the second son of Adam and Eve. He is a person of great interest for us as we think about this subject of faith, recorded in Genesis 4 and Hebrews 11. Certainly in Hebrews 11, because it is the catalog of faith of men and women who follow the Lord in that way. But what is there about him that stands out? I say to you, it is his simple obedience of faith. He obeyed the Lord from the heart. The Lord's command he took without question. And it comes to us tonight, I think. What about us? What about our obedience in faith? Or do we follow God and His Word sometimes as believers when it's convenient, sometimes when it might make sense to us, or when things are going well in the family, or when it will not cost us embarrassment, it'll not cost us much to follow the Lord? Oh yes, tonight, as we think about this man and his life, we could learn a thing or two from Abel. In the first thought tonight, we would learn and understand from his life that he presents and gives to us the first recorded act of faith in all of the Scripture. In all of the world, for that matter, from every human being that has ever lived. We're told in Genesis 4 and verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. You know, there is nothing positive that is said about Adam What is recorded about him is that he sinned. There are perhaps some neutral things, and there are some negative things. As in Adam, all die. His legacy is not a good one. There is no act of faith that is set by his name. He is not recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. It does not mean that Adam and Eve did not have faith. It does not mean they are not going to be in glory. But such was the history that we have of them and what happened, that they were virtually disqualified from being commended, being recommended. But Abel is the first person that God highlights in all humanity, commended as a man of faith. For we are told in chapter 4 and verse 4 of Genesis, what appears to be a very simple record of his action. It says, and Abel, he also brought an offering of the firstlings of his flock. And don't miss this, and of the fat thereof. The firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And that tells us that what Abel did was to bring an offering, a sacrifice. And it was a burnt sacrifice, an offering. Because as the fat was burned and ascended to God, we know from other scriptures that that means it was a fragrance ascending unto God. And the Lord had respect unto his offering. In Hebrews 11, verse 4, we have these words. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Oh, friend, link that truth with what we learned this morning from Isaiah 32:17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Abel was a man who was at peace with God. He had the peace of God in his heart because he walked in obedience and faith before the Lord. You see, my friend, living faith is active faith. It does something. It is not dead, but alive. And it is living, responding. It has warmth. It has vitality to it. It's alive. And therefore, we term it the obedience of faith. By faith, Abel offered. Faith was the living and motivating power of his life. He lived by faith because he obeyed by faith. And he offered to God the right sacrifice. You see, Abel was a man justified by his faith. He had God's witness that he was a righteous man. This First Testament believer is one of the first building blocks in the building of Christ's church. Yes, he's going to be right there at the beginning, the first one. He was not a Jew because the Jewish nation was not there yet. And now, how did he get there? Well, did Abel get to that position by his works, by the work of offering a sacrifice? That's a good question. Did he get there by his faith that was joined with his works? Is that what it was that justified him before God? We would have to answer no to both of those suggestions. But it was by faith alone. This is what God singles out in Hebrews 11. He didn't say that Abel, by his faith joined with his works, or by his works alone, but quite in a bald way in Hebrews 11 it says, by faith Abel. Yes, my friend, the Lord makes it very clear, because justification is by faith alone. It's such a vital doctrine in all of the Scripture regarding the salvation of our soul, that any tinge of, we could say, addition to that, anything that could possibly or potentially be added to this, it would jeopardize a person's eternal destiny. So you cannot guess at this one. You cannot hope to have this question right. For Paul said, I know whom I have believed in. And how could he say that? Because he knew that he was no longer under condemnation. Romans 8:1. He realized that into his heart and life, the Lord had given him light, that the just shall live by faith. And so, as Luther wrote in the margin of his Bible, sola fide, so, my dear friends, tonight, every true believer in God would have to write also, I am justified by faith alone, and nothing of the things that I have done or that I can do. What is justification? Is the question of our shorter catechism. It is an act of God's free grace, wherein He pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. You see, trusting in God by faith alone, it does not mean that faith is in isolation. You see, true faith always produces fruit unto God. It is the instrument or the tool that embraces Jesus Christ, and it causes us to see what others cannot see. God at work, and having done a work within our hearts. And I ask you tonight, my friend, do you have faith in God? Do you have saving faith in the Lord? I don't ask you how long you've been coming to church. I don't ask you, friend, how long you have known about the Bible. But I ask you tonight in your heart, do you have faith in God? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you do believe in Him and in Him alone, then you have peace with God. You have the outworking, the outcome of righteousness in your life through simple faith in the Lord Jesus. And then you will have peace with God. You can step out on the promise and get under the blood. Yes, this is the first recorded act of faith that we have in the Bible. I want you to notice in the second place tonight the conflict that there is of faith against works. There is a conflict. It's an ongoing struggle and a battle. Abel brought the first sacrifice of faith, but it was the second offering. For Cain had already brought the fruit of the ground. Cain was the firstborn, and he took the leadership, and perhaps part of his anger, it may well have been that he was frustrated that Abel did not follow him. The conflict between Cain and Abel and the religious positions that they represent, my, they are symbolized in those two characters. Abel represents those who are truly the children of God and the followers in faith only. And Cain represents all others, every other world religion, every other thinking that puts forward the idea that I can work my way to heaven, that I can offer my own self-righteousness, my own manner of making my way. And so, manufacturing by willful superstition or willful practice or some sort of ardent determination that I will get to God my way, well, that is under the heading of Cain. He's the father of all religions that believe it's possible to gain acceptance before a living and holy God by presenting an offering, some offering, developed by your own mind, developed or manufactured by your own thinking. And so people need to ask themselves today, what religion in the world, apart from true Christianity, does not have this as its basis of being justified before God or before some entity or deity, some supreme being? You know, it does not matter if you compare much of even what is called organized Christianity or the many other faiths in this world today, all have at the very same core performing some level of good works to merit salvation. Now, clearly, God had directed Adam and Cain and Abel, He had directed them to offer the fat of the animal sacrifice by burnt offering. It was a pattern that God had showed to Adam and to Eve after their sin. It's not reasonable for us to assume that Abel just came up with this idea by himself and that, well, he chose the better offering or thought of sacrifice, and Cain, he just wasn't so with it. Cain just sort of guessed at this one, but it didn't work out so well for him. No, friend, that could not be the thing at all. There is no way that God would have accepted an offering by Abel just because he came up with an idea that was a better one than Cain. God directed Adam and Cain and Abel what offering was going to be accepted by him. And Abel offered by faith that sacrifice, and God had respect unto that sacrifice. When we're given those words that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, perhaps that way of translation in the English would make you think that Cain's offering was also excellent before God. It's just that Abel's was a bit more excellent. That's not what it means. It means that the excellency in the eyes of God upon Abel's sacrifice was so much greater because of the very fact it was accepted by God. 1 evidence that this was a God-directed offering is the whole sacrificial system that we have recorded for us in the First Testament, the Old Testament. Those sacrifices that were under the ceremonial law, they were all intended to point forward. They weren't just going through some sort of a duty. They were never intended just to have an animal burned on an offering. No, friend. Every time one of God's Old Testament saints brought an offering, a burnt offering, a sacrifice unto the Lord, it was all intended to point toward the Lamb of God who would bear away the sin of the world to Calvary, to the cross, to God's only begotten Son that would be sacrificed in our place, in our room. We should have been offered there ourselves. We should have been that sacrifice for our own sin. We should have borne God's wrath. But the innocent, my dear friends, was placed in the position of the guilty. And when Adam and Eve first sinned, and the Lord slew and made for them coats of skins, it meant that the animals had to die in order that Adam and Eve could be clothed. And so we were thinking today from Isaiah 61 about the robe of righteousness, the clothing that you and I have. And that clothing has come to us at great cost. The cost of our Lord, of His life, of His precious blood. Because He is the sacrifice that was being pointed to. And we learn in this not just the first recorded act of faith and the conflict of faith against works, but we learn in the third place tonight the cost of obedience. For Abel, it was not cheap. Because in Genesis we are told that he went out in the field, obviously to do his work of tending his flocks. And Cain went out after him. Now his countenance had fallen before God. It was now coming to the surface, all of the sin and the depravity of his nature and the anger and the hatred that he had against God and the hatred now that was going to spew out from him against his own blood brother. And he would rise against Abel and he slew him because he hated Abel and he hated God. And he was bitter and turned in his own heart because how dare God reject his offering and receive that of his brother? And how close, my friend, was the murderous hand? How close was that from the creation, from our first four fathers and parents? The cost for Abel was great. And his blood was spilled in the ground. And God says these words to Cain, "The blood of your brother cries to me from the ground," because that was innocent blood. That was blood that was shed by the hand of a murderer. Cain is in hell tonight. Jude makes that very, very clear. For those that reject God, those that are murderous in their hearts, that are depraved in their own sinful nature, that reject God's offering. Get this, because that's what Cain did. He was guilty of rejecting God's way of salvation and forgiveness. And the cost of obedience, the obedience of faith, was the highest level for God's servant Abel. And he began to pave a pathway throughout history for the church and for those faithful believers who have been martyred for their faith. Martyred for no other reason but that they testify that they love God. They testify that they love Christ. They testified that they loved the way of faith, and they were prepared to give themselves to it. We could name and list many of them. The Lord Jesus mentions the very ones who were slain, that the generation that he was speaking to in Jerusalem just before he left the temple for the last time. He spoke of the righteous blood that was shed from the beginning, right up until those that were slain even on the altar of God, martyred for their faith. Because you see, the very Pharisees that contended with Jesus, they were the ones and their forefathers who were guilty of slaying the prophets of God. Blood was dripping from their hands, and they were guilty. They were in the line of Cain, you see. Oh, they had all the name and the garments and the position and the authority. They had all of that. But Christ said they were children of their father, the devil. And of his way they would follow, of his words they would speak, of his pathway they would end up. We have that even today, friend, for there are people being put to death for their faith in our time. There are people who have suffered under the hands of Islamic extremists in Africa, in Afghanistan, in countries of the world where there is no gospel liberty and freedom. And as they have endeavored to follow the way of faith and of truth, they have put down their lives and they have been martyred for Jesus' sake. There is a cost of discipleship, friends. There's a cost of obedience, and it is not cheap. We have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin up to this point. We have known only a land of freedom. We have known a land of gospel liberty. But those liberties are being eroded as we speak. And let there be a clarion call to go out from every faithful pulpit across this land of Canada and the United States that we will stand for the crown rights of King Jesus. We will stand upon the Word of God. We want to be obedient to walk in the line of Abel as he was a man that had a testimony to live before the living God. And there may come a cost to us. The question comes to all of us tonight, doesn't it? Are you prepared to take that cost seriously in your heart, in your life? Are we prepared to serve the Lord and follow Him in that way? It will only be, friends, by God's grace and strength and power to enable us to do that in our time. We cannot do it by our own ability and power. We are cowards at heart. All of us would flee and run, just as all the disciples did when they came to arrest their Lord. Ah, Peter, he would stand and say, I will go to the death for you, Lord. But we know what happened. And all of us are weak and cowardly, more so than Peter. At least he drew his sword in the garden and tried to make an effort to defend the Lord, but that was short-lived. We would all run away, left to ourselves. But at that moment, God's grace and power and strength will be in those who walk in the obedience of faith. But friends, let us all know and be aware that it will not be inexpensive for us. There is a price to pay. Notice in the fourth place tonight, this God-honoring testimony. Hebrews 11 and 4, we are told that he obtained witness that he was righteous. Oh, and what does it say? God testifying of his gifts, his offering. God testifying that what this man did, he did in obedience to the faith that he had to the Lord. This was a God-honoring testimony. And it has reverberated all throughout church history. It was recorded by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11. And we have it today as a beacon flashing out a God-pleasing life. A God-honoring testimony. Is that where we are tonight? As we want to please the Lord? Oh, I trust it is, brothers, sisters. Let us all pray that we will follow in this path and that we will not make bartering decisions with our testimony before the Lord, before a world that is critical and accusing, but that God will bless us with strength of heart. He will bless us with firmness of conviction. He will bless us as we will be followers in the line of Abel, a man of faith, the first man of faith, we could say. And as he took a small step, it was but a giant leap. It was but a leap that we are still basking in the light of today. I'm looking forward to meeting Abel in glory and to speak to that first martyr and to understand his testimony, for it was one that pleased God, and he was blessed. Some might wonder, why would the Lord allow this first man of faith to give his life and to have his blood shed? Why would the Lord allow that blood to be spilled, and so he would say to Cain that his brother's blood is crying unto him from the ground? Abel's blood was innocent blood. And when the Lord looked upon that, the testimony that was echoing, that was reaching out to the living God, was this man, my faithful servant, is now going to be elevated to a prominent place. For indeed, the martyrs of God, even according to the book of Revelation, they are presented to us as the jewels of God's kingdom. And rightly so. I wonder, is there more blood of the innocents that is speaking and crying out to God today in our land? What of the blood of the innocents that have been shed by the abortionist scalpel? What of the hundreds of thousands of babies that have been slaughtered by those who only want to have a freedom of lifestyle, who want to make lots of money going through abortion mills, and the wickedness that is perpetrated upon our land, and the innocent blood that cries to the God of heaven for what, friend? Not for peace, but for judgment upon our nation. Shame is upon our land. Shame is upon those who have engaged in such villainy. Yes, the innocent blood that is speaking to God for judgment upon our nation. There, of course, is the innocent blood that is followed by children, by those who have faithfully honored and served God throughout every generation, every decade, every century, every millennia. We have no idea of the thousands, the millions of believers that have been martyred for their faith. But our God in heaven bears witness to every single one of them. None of them will be lost or forgotten. All are recorded in God's kingdom. A God honoring testimony. And finally tonight, my friends, the solid ground that Abel's faith stood on. Solid ground. Solid ground of justification. The solid ground of a righteous standing before a holy God. It's the same ground that every believer is standing on tonight. It's the same ground, my friend, that everyone who has been saved by sovereign grace is standing on this evening. It is the finished work of our Lord Jesus, the finished work of Calvary's cross. The debt has been paid for all my iniquity. All my sins have been laid upon Him. And tonight, I, the guilty, have gone free. I have been declared innocent, free of all transgression and sin. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24 speaks of the glories of heaven and of Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood, His blood of sprinkling. And note this, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh yes, we think of Abel as taking the first simple step of the obedience of faith. And he is marked as a martyr. He is marked as a man that took a giant leap. And we're still speaking of Abel's blood today. and of the justification that he has in God. But there is one whose blood speaks so much better, because it is sinless blood. The blood of Christ is holy blood. The blood of Christ is blood that can never, ever tarnish or be corrupt, because it was pure and holy. And our Lord Jesus, the holy and harmless and undefiled Lamb of God, was given so that you and I tonight are able to stand upon the solid ground, and we are free of guilt. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We are free. And dear friend, tonight, if you know the Savior, you are in Christ tonight, then you are standing on the same ground as Abel. We are standing on the same ground of every saint. And unto the very last one that will be brought in. For Christ will see each one brought into the very end. There is the glorious doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, persevering unto the end, until every last one is gathered into God's eternal kingdom. Will you be there, friend, at that time? Young person, do you know him? Boy and girl, are you sure you're saved? The Lord gives another opportunity tonight to be absolutely clear that your heart is right with the Lord, that your sins have been forgiven, that Christ is your living Savior. I pray that that would be the case for each one tonight. Let's please bow in prayer. Father, I pray tonight that the precious Word of God, Lord, your Word, that it would be welded into the heart of every single one of us. And that, Lord, the Word would speak clearly to awaken the dead, to flee to Christ for salvation, for time and for eternity. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Save souls, we ask. Lord, part us now, I pray, in your fear, with your blessing. Help us to go forward in this week, knowing the joy and presence and strength of the Savior in us, and make use of us all, we ask. Hear now our prayers. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.